Good to see everybody here this morning. We do have quite a few that are out not feeling well, and so we got to remember them and those who are still traveling. So let's keep them in mind in our prayers. Always, we need to pray for each other. As we've been discussing in our Sunday morning class, we're here for each other. We got to be praying for each other all the time. All right. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that I think maybe some of you might relate to, is the idea that it is possible to live a Christian life. It is possible. And some people demonstrate that it is possible. Other people struggle with this idea. Some people just give up too early, and Satan is very pleased when that happens. And I think we all might recognize that fact. But we're going to look at this, and there's many passages in the Word of God that demonstrate the possibility of apostasy. Apostasy means a falling away. And that's what people do. They start serving God, but then all of a sudden things get in the way, and next thing they know, they're just not serving God anymore. And they're not faithful anymore. And so they don't really know what happened a lot of the times. It's just things got in the way. And so these passages are significant and should not be ignored, whether in private study or public proclamation of God's word. It is possible to fall away from God. Now, in fact, there's a serious doctrinal error in the religious world in its Calvinistic doctrine of once saved, always saved. You've probably all heard that at one time or another. And most of the Protestant world believes that. Most people who claim to be Christian believe this idea that once you're saved, you're always saved. In fact, they go out and blatantly say there's nothing you can do that can hurt your soul anymore once you've believed on the name of Jesus. And, of course, that is false doctrine. If it wasn't false doctrine, then the Bible would support such a thing. The Bible doesn't. The Bible has over 100 passages which tells us and warns us about falling away from God or turning away from God, not to do it. And if it was impossible, why are all the warnings in there? That's something we need to look at. So saying this, I believe it's important to point out that the same Bible which demonstrates the possibility of unfaithfulness also reveals the possibility of faithfulness. And that's what we want to encourage everyone to do. So often, one extreme begets another. All right. We should be careful to avoid going from the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, to the doctrine of once saved, never quite sure thereafter. That's something that a lot of people are confused about. We're not quite good enough. Well, we're never good enough. Let's put it that way. But we shouldn't feel that way, because we should be striving to be good. That's what we should be doing. We should be striving for that. We must go on to perfection, as the Hebrew writer says. We need to leave behind the elementary principles. We need to grow. We need to get stronger. But we also need to have confidence that we approach God. We approach His throne of grace with confidence and boldness. And that's not being arrogant about it, but knowing that if I'm doing things for the Lord, then I'm in a saved condition. We need to understand that. If I am faithful, and it's all hinged on that big word, if I am faithful, if I study my Bible, if I share the gospel message, if I live right, if I refrain from acting like the world, and the list goes on and on. But we really shouldn't have this idea that if I feel not quite sure, there's something I've got to do about that. And a lot of people just, okay, well, I'll just live in that existence, not quite sure if I'm going to make it to heaven, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. There's no logic in that. That doesn't make sense. If you have this feeling that I'm not quite sure, then do what you need to do to make sure. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's why we gather together, to encourage each other to do those things. So the possibility of apostasy should not be proclaimed as the probability of apostasy. Yes, it's going to happen. People are going to turn away from the gospel message. People are going to stop serving the Lord. And that's a real shame that it does happen. But we don't have to say, well, it's going to happen and just let it go. No, we should never have that attitude of just letting things like that happen. All right, so yes, there is security, even eternal security, available to the believer. Now, when you start talking about the Calvinistic doctrine, they talk about one of the precepts is the eternal security of the believer. This fits into that once saved, always saved. In other words, if you obeyed the gospel when you were 12 or 13 years old, then there's nothing you do the rest of your life that will change your soul's destiny. You can be the vilest of human beings. You can be the meanest. You can be the worst person on the planet of the earth, but your soul is still saved. That is what they teach. That is what we call a comfort doctrine. Later on this year, we're going to be looking at some of those comfort doctrines. But we're going to deal with that. We need to put proper emphasis on the word believer. That sometimes people don't understand quite what that believer is. The idea of believer is not just, well, I believe in Jesus. I mean, that person claims to be a believer. Just saying you believe something, that doesn't do anything. You need to show it. You need to demonstrate. You need the obedience of faith. And so if you're going to believe, you've got to be obedient. And that's where a lot of people get this wrong. They want to claim to be believers, that they're followers, but they're not. A true believer has an active, obedient faith. And if one ceases to be a believer, then he ceases to be secure. In other words, if I stop serving the Lord, my soul is in jeopardy. And so it's not on the pathway to heaven. We're either on the way to heaven or we're away from heaven. There is no middle ground. There is no neutral ground that we can park ourselves in and just make ourselves feel comfortable. And that's what a lot of people do. We get into a certain situation, we just get comfortable with that, and we decide, well, we don't need to grow anymore. And one reason is because, well, if I grow more, then I'm going to have more responsibility placed on me by God. Well, yeah, that's true. That's the point. He wants to use us. And if we deny him that possibility, we're useless to him. All right, on the other hand, if one continues to believe in Jesus and follow his teachings, that believer is secure for as long as he continues the practice. As long as you are faithful to the Lord, as long as you're doing the Lord's will and remaining in that condition, yes, you have that security available to you. When you stop doing the Lord's will, that's when you lose that security. And so this is what Jesus taught in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Got to hang in there. Keep doing it. Don't give up. But the sheep who refused to hear the voice of Jesus, you know, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, for they follow me. There are some people who went out there teach, well, Jesus knows his sheep, but they're all throughout the world. And in other words, they're living like the world, they're involved in the things of the world, they're practicing the things of the world, but yet they're still Jesus' sheep. That's what people are claiming. No, they're not. Because Jesus qualified that statement. They hear my voice, in other words, obedient to my voice. Jesus said, my words are what's going to judge, and my words are the standard you need to live by. And that's what the sheep, the faithful sheep, do. They live by that standard. So if they cease to follow him, they're not promised that eternal security. And such apostate sheep are headed for the ceaseless torment of a devil's hell. I mean, there's the warning was given. You know, Simon the sorcerer was warned about his attitude, that if he didn't change it, then his money would perish with him. And Revelation 21:8, I mean, we're going to be judged out of the books that are there. So, yes, we need to be mindful of these things. Now, we need to take faithfulness and make it personified. In other words, make it human. Make it understandable to us so we can understand what it means to be faithful. Perhaps the best way to define faithfulness is to see it personified. That is, lived out in the lives of men and women of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, you look to examples. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be examples. We're supposed to be those shining lights in this world. We're supposed to let our light shine. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's how we demonstrate our faithfulness. You know, James chapter 2 talks about the fact that, you know, some person says, show me your faith without your works. I mean, that's hard to believe someone is a faithful Christian if they don't ever do anything a Christian is supposed to do. I think we might agree with that. Some of us wouldn't, and some of us would. But if we can show you our faith by our works, what are we doing? That's more believable. Yeah, we can actually see it. And so you don't need faith to accept that someone is a Christian. There's a lot of people claim to be Christians, but their actions deny that. Titus 1:16 tells us that. They profess to know him, but their deeds deny him. And so that's important. So the Bible is a good example, is full of such manifestations of faithfulness. We see it throughout the Scriptures. And people are faithful because of what they did, not because of what they felt or what they thought, by what they did. They're found in both the Old and the New Testament. For example, Jehovah described Moses as faithful in all his house. Hebrews 3, verses 2, and then verse 5. It's talking about Moses. He was faithful in all his house. In other words, his whole life was one of faithfulness towards God. And then, of course, the remainder of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, is full of command after command that God gave to Moses. And it says he carried them out to the letter. Everything the Lord told him to tell the people, he told the people, right? That's what we'd see. We see that with many of the prophets. The Lord, and we especially in Jeremiah, the Lord said, you tell the people this, and listed off a whole lot of things, and then it turns around, Jeremiah stands in the marketplace or in the gate and proclaims the exact same words. A lot of repetition there in Jeremiah, but he was doing what God said. God told Ezekiel, you will be my mouth to the people. Everything that I tell you and show you, you tell the people and show them. And so that's the way God wanted it. When God wants the message out, he wants it out precisely. He doesn't want us to make light of it or anything like that. We need to carry it out to the letter. And yes, we realize Moses stumbled from time to time. In fact, he was prevented from entering the promised land because of his lack of faith, because of unfaithfulness. And so that's true. But every time he did stumble, for the most part, he got right back up and walked in the way of God. All right, Moses, not the only Old Testament character who was faithful to God. Hezekiah was good and right and faithful before God. We read his story there in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20 and 21. And if you can read there, right there in the middle of Isaiah 37, 38, 39, it talks about Hezekiah. He was good and faithful, but he did something that the Lord was not pleased with. So the Lord said, sent the prophet to him and says, get your house in order, for tonight you die. And so Hezekiah, as we remember the story, Hezekiah lay down on his bed and turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, I have been a good and faithful servant of yours. And he was really very apologetic and repentant. And the Lord sent the prophet back and says, you tell him he's got 15 years. He's got 15 more years added to his life. He was one of the few people in history who actually had a timetable on knowing when they was going to die, because God told him, you have 15 more years. Nehemiah tells of those who were faithful in reconstructing the walls of Jerusalem and starting the temple back together. He mentioned a bunch of those who worked on the gates, who worked on the walls, and what they did and what they accomplished. and these things. A lot of them he listed by name. These people are going down in history. Their names are recorded in history as being faithful to God. And it is possible for one to be faithful in any circumstance. A lot of times we blame our circumstances for failing to be faithful. Well, we got the office party, it's mandatory, so we're going to go there. Everybody else is drinking. I don't want to look like an oddball. I mean, you got to put a stop to it. Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be setting a good example. How am I setting a good example if I'm acting like everybody else? So we have to ask that. Daniel, the life of Daniel answers with a resounding yes. That's what Daniel said. Daniel would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. He had a lot of food and a lot of it was probably alcoholic beverage. And Dan said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat your messed up food. Just give me vegetables and water and see how I fare. And so Daniel did, and he fared better than the others, and along with his three friends. So Daniel there. Daniel, as was his daily custom in chapter 6, verse 4, his daily custom was to pray towards Jerusalem every day, several times a day. And that's how they entrapped him. And they got him thrown into the lion's den because of that. So, yes, he knew the possibility of remaining faithful. Faithfulness is also personified in a number of New Testament texts. Matthew 24, 45 through 51, and then 25 verse 1 through 13, and verses 14 through 13. All of these talks about faithfulness, talking about the example of the good steward, the wise virgins. And so all of these here, talking about faithfulness. And of course, Paul's epistles are filled with references to faithful Christians. He talks about different ones, and some of them he mentions by name. The faithful saints and different people by name. He mentions all those in all these passages. The Hebrew writer gives us a list of faithful people in Hebrews 11. We call that the Hall of Fame of Faith. And he talks about how great and faithful these people were, and they were faithful by what they did. Peter speaks of his brother, Silvanus, as a faithful brother. 1 Peter 5 and verse 12. And Jesus encourages the Christians in Smyrna to be faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now, faithfulness perpetuated means let's put it into action. We need to take our faith that we profess, that we believe that we have faith towards Jesus. Now, let's put it into action. Let our actions speak louder than our words. Even though it is possible to be a faithful Christian, we are reminded in the parable of the sower of some who fell away. You know, Luke 8:13 talks about that. And he gives several scenarios how some just basically never obeyed the gospel, but some quickly because of emotional response. But then they found out it was just too hard to live the life of a Christian. So they fell away. Or others they stayed acting like a Christian, but they were choked out by the world. The world choked them out. And they suffered. But a few got out of that and remained faithful. And they produced. This parable tells us of other circumstances that caused people to fall away from faithfulness. And just reminding us that the Calvinistic doctrine says it's impossible to fall away. Jesus our Lord said people fall away. His disciples said people fall away. The Holy Spirit tells people and commanded his writers to tell people that they can fall away. So who are we going to believe? We're not going to believe the doctrines of men because they teach error. They teach things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Paul tells us the possibility of apostasy unless we continue in the zealous service of the Lord. If we don't serve the God, our God, as strongly as possible with all of our effort, we can fall away. We've got to be careful not to let that happen. In the 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 8, it says, take heed, brethren, lest ye fall. That's verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Take heed, lest ye fall. Don't give it the opportunity. Be mindful to always be pressing it into service. All right, now there's four ways that we can help to perpetuate our faithfulness. In other words, put it into action. Notice these real quick as we go through. Let God say something to you every day. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, God speaks to us through His Word. That's right, Hebrews 1. He spoke to the fathers in different ways, and now in these last days, He has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and proclaimed His words would judge us, and His words were not His own. They came exactly from the Father. In chapter 16, He talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. And He continued His work through the early church until everything had been proclaimed. And so all these passages here talk about the responsibility of speaking through God's Word. His Word is so important. And then when we look at the Psalm, the whole of chapter 119 is talking about the law of God, the Word of the Lord, the commandments of God, His precepts, His ordinances, His statutes, you name it, His will, His understanding. All the whole book of 119 is talking about the law of God. God speaks to us if we will just open up our books and read. Open up our Bible and read. God will speak to us. We just have to be there and be receptive. Some people get on a reading program every year, read the Bible through in a year. They just read three chapters and put the book down. And they've skimmed over it so fast, they don't know what they read. Study God's Word. You know, we find time to read, to watch TV, do other things. We must find time to read God's Word. Another thing we can do is say something to God every day. All right, we do that through prayer. We talk to Him. God, Jesus wanted men everywhere to pray unto God. Luke 18:1, Ephesians 6, we need to pray constantly. Paul was always talked about in every one of his letters, I pray for you, and this is my prayer. Sometimes he would say, this is my prayer, this is what I'm praying for you. And some of them are beautiful prayers, and some of them make some for some very good lessons that we can learn from. And Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed often. And we read of others who prayed often. A lot of kneeling keeps one in good standing with God. Kneeling in prayer. Another thing we can do is stand up for God every day. Mark 8:38. He who would be ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him. If we stand up for Jesus, He won't turn us and deny us. He will be proud to claim us as His own. We need to stand up for God every day, and we have opportunity every time someone uses the Lord's name in vain. We have the opportunity to stand up. Wait a minute. That's offensive. I mean, you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. He doesn't like it. And then people start talking about different things of this world. Steer their direction towards the things of God. We need to stand up for God. And especially if they start making fun of Christians. Wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I don't have to take that. Yes, we need to pray for courage that we will be able to do that. And then we need to do something for God every day. Share His gospel message is what He really wants us to do. But make sure we're doing this. We need to be seeking and how we can help our brethren. We need to look around and pray for each other. There's so many things we can do. In fact, the judgment scene in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Jesus said, told these people, you saw me hungry and gave me food. You saw me thirsty and gave me drink. Then, wait, when do we ever see you, Lord? The fact that you did it to the least of mine, you did it to me. We just recognize that all humanity needs to be treated in the right way. In order to live the faithful Christian life, we must live it. It must be a part of our character. Everything about us must say, Christian, Christian, Christian. That's what we are. We're the world's supposed to look at us, and now they may mock us, they may make fun of us. So be it. We're blessed if we do that. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are you if people revile you and curse you for my name's sake. Yes, we are a Christian, and we shouldn't let anybody bother us when we say, yes, I am a Christian, and I demonstrate it. We must demonstrate it in our lives, everything about us. That means we cannot be acting like the world out there. We can't be blending into the world, as so many try to do. We've got to stick out. We must live it. We must promote it. We must promote the Christian lifestyle. How it is so much better. It's far superior to any other system on the face of this earth. Any other religion on the face of this earth, the Christian life is superior to all of them. And if people would just start living like Christians are supposed to live, what kind of world would we have? There'd be no fighting. There'd be no wars. There'd be no hatred. All the ills of society would be gone if we just promote Christianity. And we must encourage it. That's what we're here. Encouraging one another. That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's why we gather together and assemble with each other, so we can give this encouragement. You know, in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, Paul talks about the fact that his time was up on this earth. He knew a sentence of death was coming. He says, I fought the fight and I've kept the faith. I've run the course. And I've done what God wanted me to do. I've accomplished what God wants me to do. The question for you, have you accomplished what God wants you to do? Think about that. You know, Paul spent his life, the last 30 years of his life, in faithful obedience to Christ, preaching every opportunity he got, teaching people, convicting the gainsayer. He spent his every effort living for the Lord for the last 30 years of his life. Can any of us say that? Can we say that we have also fought the good fight and remained faithful? Well, I've been going to church for 30 years. Might be a response for some. Have we done it the same way Paul did it? No. What's stopping us? Think about those things. To be a faithful and live a Christian life, you have to become a Christian. How do you do that? Well, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you must repent of your sins. In other words, stop the sin in your life. Start living the way God wants you to live. That's what repentance is a turning away. And then confess his name. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the only way to come into a relationship with God, is to have your sins washed away. And then live faithful. In other words, learn what God wants you to do. Study what God wants you to do. And then do it. It's that simple. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.